All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1159 of the Geek News Central podcast. It is Monday, November 14th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can always support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider, or you can simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. I want to give a warm, warm, warm welcome to all the listeners. And for many of you, the show is starting much earlier because, yes, I'm only 2 hours from the West Coast and only 5 hours to the East. So that really makes it only about nine. And I'm starting the show early tonight. So 9:30 Western and or Pacific Western. That's not a time zone. But glad to be here. And for those of you joining us live, whether it be on YouTube, whether it be live stream, whether it be on Facebook, thanks for being here. I'll be watching the chat rooms both on YouTube and Facebook. But glad to be back in the studio here. And as the title of the show shows today, I think if everything goes right, then this is, I'll be here until I leave for CES on New Year's Eve. So I'm kind of stoked about that for being home for a while and like giving my body a chance to figure out what heck time zone I'm actually supposed to be in. But talk a little bit about my trip to Denver here in just a few minutes. But again, warm, warm welcome to all the HANA, all the longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. If you're brand new to the show, hey, I would just want to absolutely welcome you and give you a little tech distraction here for the next hour, 10 hour, 15 minutes. And of course, we want you to take time and visit the website at geeknewscentral.com and see if I can press the right button, get the right screen up. Yes, I did. But get over to geeknewscentral.com. You'll find really subscribing to the show is easy. All you have to do is pick iTunes, subscribe on Android. You can do it via email if you want to go old school. On Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, you can use an old school RSS feed as well to get subscribed to the show. And then if you scroll down a little bit further on the website into an area called Important Links, you can get subscribed to the newsletter as well. And the newsletter, when I send that out, that really, all it contains is everything I'm going to talk about in the show today, all the links. So it's most important. And it basically what it does, too, is it reminds you that there is a new show available. If you're subscribed, don't worry, as long as you're listening every episode or two, that the podcatcher will continue to download the show automatically. So that'll be a reminder as well. Hey, if you've got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, that's a place to send them. If you got to follow me on Twitter, @GeekNews is the Twitter account. Of course, you can join our Slack channel by just sending an email to me and say, I want to join the Slack channel. Do that via email. You can follow on Google Plus on Facebook. Of course, you can watch the show on the Roku, on the Apple TV, on the Amazon Echo, on Stitcher and Blueberry. We're everywhere podcasts are. And of course, we've got a great lineup of partner shows over at geeknewscentral.com, including No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site written by our GNC team, and of course, my new site, Podcast Legends, and I'll have some new interviews up here on that directly. But this show has been sponsored since July of 2005 by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And really, just want to tell you, I was getting too much Google love, and I was asked to actually implement a code snippet to, and basically what it boils down to is I was getting some serious feature at Google, and it was driving a lot of traffic back to the website. Made a tag that they requested that I put in, basically leveled the playing field for everyone that is in that first page of search results. Although Google may have penalized me a little bit for some text, we're trying to figure out what's going on there. But really, that geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy page is a place I need all of you to send your friends, family members, people that you know to. You can link to that page on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever you're talking about getting a website and domain names. You can support this show, and it goes a long, long way by just turning your friends and family members on to. Many of you have been with the show for many years. You've picked up domain names. You picked up hosting accounts. You're not signing up for new things. You can be a big part of the Ohana by sharing my GoDaddy promo code page with your friends and family members. And that helps continue to keep the ball rolling here. But lots of savings available. 30% off on new product purchases. You can get a 99-cent.com. That's good for one time only. You can also get a one-month free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder for those of you who have a business account with some consultation and help with GoDaddy. They'll actually work with you a little bit on that. And, of course, we've got the standard economy and WordPress hosting plans. Each come with a free domain, dollar a month. Great way to go to get started online. And really, here we are. I can't believe it. November 14th. And yes, we are just, what is it? How many weeks away? I'm just freaking out completely. What are we, 5 weeks away from Christmas or something like that? 5 weeks away. I haven't done shopping yet, right? Me neither. Absolutely haven't done any. So I'm going to tell you, it's going to save you some time. You got friends, family members, buy them a domain name. Associate it with a hosting account. Get them set up so that they'll have an online presence and a place to share. Maybe start a podcast. Who knows? Ignite their passions. And it's only going to cost you $12. Now, we want you to transfer it to them so that they can maintain it so you don't have to, you know, pony up to the bar every year. This is a great way to think about potential Christmas present that's just a little different. And again, get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's the page where the magic happens and where you save a lot of money. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here of the show. And all of your assistance and driving friends and family members and people that you know, coworkers to this page. You know, I want you to drive them a little crazy. And then maybe have them share with their friends and family members. But anyway, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And let's all help keep Geekness Central's GoDaddy page at the top of the GoDaddy search chart. So cheating a little bit here by asking you all to do that, but definitely appreciate your ongoing support. Okay, let me get in my stack of stuff here, and let me switch this back. There we go. So last week I did one show, and then Thursday's show didn't make it to publication. Really, what happened was I was in meetings, had a follow up meeting Thursday with a secondary client, and I figured that meeting would take about 30 minutes max, and it was like 2.5 to 3 hours. And you know, what do you do? You tell them, I got to go. I got a show to do. Well, it just, by the time I got back to the room on Thursday, it was like 8:30. I had done no show prep. So my apologies. I had planned on putting a show on. It just didn't work out. But had a great time in Denver. Denver, as I mentioned, I had not been there really to spend any significant amount of time. I've always just drove through. But Denver is wide, huge, huge, huge. It's like Phoenix in width. The drivers are absolutely horrendous. The drivers there suck. I mean, really suck. I'll put them on the top 5 worst driver stack. Hawaii is in amongst close to number 1, And Denver is definitely a close second, or maybe even they're just rude as all could get out. And there were some streets I couldn't basically put my blinker on, and people were like, they weren't flipping me the bird, but they wouldn't let me in. And of course, being a newcomer to town, you're missing a turn. And so I got to see a lot of back streets and construction going on, but it looks like the city is booming. And first night there, I got invited out to dinner by a longtime podcaster friend who's in between jobs. And he invited me to dinner, and also he's like, hey, come on, we'll smoke a blunt. And I'm like, oh, well, dinner's fine. No blunt. I don't do that. And I guess, you know, that's the spirit of Colorado. I don't know. But no partaking on me. No, no, no. But I thought that was kind of interesting. So I guess I got the full Colorado treatment. So that was Monday. Yeah, was it Monday night, I guess? And then, was it Monday night? Sunday night or Monday night, one of the two. But Tuesday, election day, I actually met with another podcaster there that has a network. And he drove about an hour down to come see me, and we had a nice chit-chat. Went to eat at a Thai restaurant. And so I had a great time talking with him. And by the time I got back to the hotel, in which I was staying at a DoubleTree, it doesn't matter what town, but anyway, the Republicans were having a party there. I don't know if it was a district or whatever, but I got back and the parking lot was, full, no parking whatsoever. And I'm really hadn't been paying attention too much about the surrounding area, and I'm kind of like, well, I'm pissed because I can't park. I'm staying there. I call the front desk, and the lady says, oh, we got parking lot attendants to help you. And I'm like, no, there's no one out here. And make a long story short, after much aggravation, I finally found out where we were staying, or where they were doing overflow parking, like two blocks away. And had to leave my car there overnight, so wasn't so happy with that. Then they checked me out of my room twice. I guess they really didn't want me to stay there. So that was bizarre. But anyway, Tuesday night of the election, there was a huge party, obviously, going on in the hotel. I don't think the hotel slept much because there was a very obvious mass quantities of alcohol and a lot of whooping and cheering. It definitely wasn't. I think the guy that was staying beside me was a Democrat, and the person that was on the other side of me was a Republican, because I could hear one person whooping on one side and one person cussing on the other. So, that was a relatively long night. I did stay up to about 1:30 or so, kind of watching the drama unfold. But I know that at least 50% of you are not happy with the results. We've all been down this road one way or the other many, many times, and I'm not going to get into it. But I'm continuing to unfriend people on Facebook. It's crazy. People are just still crazy right now. It's just amazing to me. But I understand, and hopefully things will calm down a little bit. We'll see. So anyway, that's basically it. Flew out on Friday. Got back here to Honolulu about 6. Things are going pretty good with my wife's new job at Hawaiian Airlines. So talk about what's going on there. She's still looking for a vehicle. I'm hoping to get that closed this week. She's going to get some sort of an electric vehicle. Hope that gets wrapped up, because right now I'm having to get up way early to take her into town, and it's a little bit ugly. But have not worked on the assistant for the show at all. So I just want to let you know that. That's still on my list to do. I'm horrible on getting stuff done right now, and just because stuff is too much stacked up. And yes, I need that assistant to help me out. So, you know, one thing that, you know, I've told you guys many, many times about myself, you know, if it's obvious, you look what we've done with the studio over the years. I'm a little bit over the top. I like to have stuff that makes my production go quick, that the quality of the live stream, the quality of the video, the quality of the audio, all that stuff, right? I'm a little bit, it's not, what is that symptom. Maybe the chat room can help me out. When you're like real super organized, I'm not like that. Is that ODD? But anyway, I'm not that. But I'm just like anal. And when I get something in my head, to do something, man, it just sits there and grinds and grinds and grinds and grinds and grinds on me. And I flip flop 4 or 5 times, and you know, and talk about a flip flopper. I'm definitely a flip flopper, deciding what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it, and you know, the road I'm going to go down. So, I don't know if I talked about it or not, but I did pull the trigger, and I am going to start recording. Like when I go to CES, I'm going to be recording on DSLR. So I've been, you know, doing all that stuff. But I'm also started this new YouTube thing where I've got 2 blogs, vlogs. And someone says it's not a vlog, it's a blog. But, you know, it's, whatever the hell it is, it's a vlog. It's a just kind of a random, you know, thing I'm going to do from time to time. And I talk about that, and I'll put the link up. You guys can check it out and get subscribed. Please subscribe. Got a brand new channel, so I need at least 100 people on there to be able to get some more access to YouTube. Could use this channel, but I decided not to. But anyway, long story short here, it's not on a schedule. It's going to be whenever I can figure out something I want to do cool and play around. So yes, I've been, I spent more on a single camera lens than I think I've spent. You know, it's insane. Let's put it this way. I've got a Canon here, a Canon there. These are regular video cameras. I've got a point and tilt zoom camera directly in front of me. You know, I know those cameras. I knew, you know, $1,000, you know, $1,300. You know, the one up on the wall 5 years ago was, you know, $5,000. So you know, I'm not accustomed to buying good gear, but it's absolutely crazy what it costs for glass, for DSLR cameras. I mean, it's insane. No wonder these things hold their value. So I'm done buying lenses, and I have purchased 3. So again, this overthinking stuff, but I'm a bit compulsive when I go. So we'll see if this investment in glass and some of the stuff that I have been laying in here, if I can actually make something of it. I might not. It might all be on eBay next year. Who knows? But anyway, that's what's going on. And so for those of you that are photogs out there, I'm looking for a lightweight backpack to handle a DSLR, 3 lenses, a light, a small tripod. You're following me? Give me, you know, because that's what I was, you know, spending an hour today looking around for, because it's obviously it's not going to work in the little backpack that I'm using that's not very protective. So anyway, if you have a suggestion, email me. It's appreciated. Now, the rest of you that have been listening to this show, beep, saying, where are we going to get to the tech? We're going to get to it here in a second. But this is really, for those of you new to the show, we spend some time every time at the beginning of the podcast just kind of talking about stuff. And I have as much fun doing that as I have fun doing the regular tech part of the show. So I hope you don't fast forward through, because we want to get to know you. So when you email the show, let us know who you are, where you live, all that stuff. And we got some people in the chat room tonight. We got Rita, Matt, and Matt's coming in for, I saw some Pennsylvania or something like that. But everyone live, thanks for being here. And just check in the chat room on Facebook so I can see you. And if you're on YouTube, do the same. And just come in as anonymous if it doesn't let you have a username, and just tell me who you are. Same banging my nose against the mic. You guys get a little laugh out of that. So anyway, that's it on my stuff to get you guys caught up. And I am psyched to actually, you know, I like traveling at times, but being at home, I just get so much more done. I really, really do. Okay, so the first thing I've got in the stack tonight is Jeff. I know you're listening in Brooklyn. Congratulations. New York City's free gigabit Wi-Fi is coming to Brooklyn. So it's only in Bed-Stuy for now. I have no idea what that even means. I guess that's a certain area in Brooklyn. And but they're starting to move that around. But very, very cool. Free gigabit Wi-Fi is on its way to Brooklyn. Also, there's a cool story on Engadget. Now, oftentimes we think about these denial of service attacks coming from a cluster, another cluster of devices, a cluster of computers, a cluster of, you know, pawn machines. It just, you know, the whole thing usually requires a big, massive block, 500-600 devices or computers to be able to do denial service attack that they takes things down. Well, there's this new hack, and researchers at TD Security Operations Center, whoever the heck that is, have revealed. And why would they do this? Why would this research center reveal this? Why wouldn't they just publish this kind of like in the security trades or something? But no. They're talking about this new attack technique called Black Nurse that can take down large servers using just one computer. So all the kitties out there that are script kitties are going to be, building scripts to be able to use a laptop that's on at least a 15 megabit connection, going after switches, going after, Cisco routers and that type of stuff. But apparently this new denial of service attack is pretty effective, but yet, quote unquote, with a firewall in front of this, you can filter it. Now, sometimes I wonder if these researchers at TDC Security Operations Center, this is just my opinion, were they paid by a firewall maker to talk about this specific denial of service attack in order to sell more firewall gear? Makes you go, doesn't it? Because why would a researcher group actually develop a new hack attack or a new attack vector to basically take down firewalls if they weren't looking to help someone sell more stuff? Oftentimes, I just wonder about that a little bit, don't you? I know I do. Now, I'm not saying that's just Todd's opinion here. You know, researchers at TDC Security Operations Center may be on the complete up and up, so don't get upset, but it makes me go, just a little bit when I see this types of articles and these new protocols. Maybe it's not, but at least it's being revealed, at least in this specific article. Now, I probably should have took these right at the top of the show, but China today basically has threatened to cut sales of iPhones and U.S. cars in China if the president-elect pursues a trade war. So, if nothing else, someone has gotten someone's attention a little bit, and it's going to prove to be interesting one way or the other on where things go with trade tariffs and that type of stuff. So, when trade wars happen, it's usually not good for either side. Depending on how enacted, it could have some impact and, make people play a little bit fair. Time will tell. And I don't claim to try to even be an economist or even understand. I don't know the trickle-down effects of all this stuff. So, don't sue me. But it is interesting that there's already like a little bit of people are testing the wind to see what's going to happen. At the same time, encrypted email signups instantly doubled in the wake of the election. So a company called Proton Mail is a Swiss company, and they follow policies of Swiss neutrality. They exceeded 10,000 signups per day of people trying to come in and sign up for secure email. Thought that's curious. People are nervous. I think everyone is concerned about privacy no matter what, but, obviously they think that he's going to, be more, probably more lenient in allowing, government agencies to do things that maybe weren't as lenient in the current administration. I don't know. You know, I think there's still law there that has to be followed. So, you know, if we think about it, you know, we got three branches of government, and they're checks and balances against one another, right? So, at least here in the United States. So, a lot of talk can be talked, but, you know, you just will see where things go. But interesting combination this time with the Republicans essentially controlling everything since 1928. I didn't even realize it had been that long. I didn't even know, to be honest with you. But I think that's probably what's got a lot of people nervous. Okay. Switching off the politics stuff, because we're all sick of that, right? The MacBook Pro Touch Bar, according to Gizmodo, is a gimmick not worth the money, in quotes, yet. And I have not started to play with one of these at all. And matter of fact, I'm a little bit distressed because my five or six year old MacBook Pro 17 inch that is, you know, I put an SSD in this year, is working great. The battery, I can tell, is going bad because I had it in my lap in the living room. It was fully charged. I'm sitting there about 25 minutes, and I'm down to like 60% battery. It's like, oh, crap. So that tells me that the battery is on its way out. So I don't know if this particular MacBook can be, if the battery can be replaced. Maybe I'll have to go look third party to see if that can happen. But I'm not ready to do an upgrade. This machine is fine. I was doing some video editing on it. It encoded. No, it doesn't encode like my Mac Pro, but my MacBook, you know, it's, you know, I expect it to be a little bit slower. But it just sucks when you know the battery is on its way south. But this may be a unit, you can still take the bottom off, but this unit might be able to be updated. Who knows, maybe even Apple can do it. So I'll be looking into that and see if it can happen. But the machine is still fine and breathed another couple of years of life into it by putting the SSD in. But if you're looking, you know, if you look at the price of this thing, you know, the 15-inch model with the Touch Bar, $23.99. It's really crazy, you know, and I was actually looking at some i7s to determine what I would need to buy equivalent, because I'm really just doing video editing on the laptop. So, you know, again, I'm an equal opportunity purchaser, so I can go with a Mac or go with a PC. Definitely cheaper to go with the PC ways, but if I start looking at adding RAM and, you know, I don't want a gaming machine. I just want a machine that processes, encodes video at an insanely fast rate. So, and has a little bit higher resolution. And usually those are gaming machines. They're usually heavier and hotter and all that. And I just don't want a brick to be carrying around either. So that is a trade-off. But anyway, the gimmicky Touch Bar. If any of you have one, did anybody plunk down the cash yet and buy one? Have you got it? I want to hear from you if you have. If you've ponied up to the credit card and made the purchase, then let me know what you think of it. How do you live without the function keys? Is there a way to turn the function keys back on? Because, you know, I use function keys hardcore a lot. And if there's an easy way to get to the function keys through that, that's fine. But if I do make the jump, I'm not there yet because I want to, you know, have this one last a couple more years. Hopefully I'll be able to get a MacBook Pro in a couple of years that has I don't have to go with this Touch Bar, or maybe Apple will grow out of it. Who knows? Maybe not. But Gizmodo really didn't have a lot of positive things to say. Hey, there's a smartwatch is powered by your body heat. And, I was looking at this article. It's a first of its kind, and the creators of what's called the Power Watch are using the device as a proof of concept for the thermoelectric generator technology, which they managed to make small and efficient enough to incorporate into a device as compact as a watch. Now, if you look at the display, it is not a color display. It is not, this nice or something like a a Samsung watch or something like that. It's not that pretty. And I'll bring it up for you to see. Oh, of course, they Gizmodo popped me up an ad there. But it, you know, it's kind of got that grayscale, kind of what you're used to in like on a Kindle. So I don't know all the features that it has. I haven't taken the time to look that over. But it is cool that it charges from body heat. And that is kind of the biggest annoyance. Because, you know, right here, what do I have on my desk? I've got my Apple Watch. I forgot to put it on the charger. It's dead. Deader than a doornail. So, you know, I got to get it on the charger so I can have it available tomorrow. But I didn't wear it today because it was, you know, I forgot to put it on the charger. So, you have to be disciplined to be able to charge stuff. You know, one thing that happened on the way home, I flew out of, went Denver, LA, LA to Honolulu. And on the Denver flight, a basketball team got on, and one of the guys realized that he left his phone on the charger in the boarding area. So he immediately did a U-turn, ran out of the airplane. He'd only been on the airplane like, I'm not kidding you, like 15 seconds before he went on, and his phone was already gone. Someone already snatched it, did whatever they were going to do with it. Pretty amazing. Just a couple of minutes. So, really, I think what we all, you know, I never, at this point, never do I plug my phone in anywhere when I'm traveling, because I'll leave it. So, instead, what I do is I carry, like, a 25,000 mAh battery that will charge anything. It'll charge my iPad, it'll charge my phone, it'll charge any device that I have. I carry one. And it's usually good for the whole trip, and I don't have to charge it while I'm in the hotel or anything. Yes, it adds a pound of weight to my bag, but if you are absolutely non-forgetful, if you don't have a senior moment, if you're traveling, buy a battery brick to be able to charge your devices. Make sure you get one that'll do everything. I love the one I have because it'll do, I think it's raw power, RAH power, something like that. It'll charge my iPad too, because that's what I'm using mostly on the airplane. And, so this kid lost his, you know, young adult basketball player with, I think it was Boise State or something like that. He lost his cell phone because he had it plugged in somewhere. Probably didn't want to carry that extra battery, but, you know, $500-$600 down. And the way his coach was kind of talking about it as they were walking through, maybe not the first time that this individual lost a phone. So, you know, this smartwatch powered by your body heat, well, don't have to worry about sticking that sucker on the charger. And maybe it does all the heart rate monitoring and functions that you want anyway. One thing that those of us here in the United States typically don't have to worry about is what we do on the internet is largely not subject to state where they're going to come and pull you out of your house for using an app or going to a website. So freedomhouse.org has published an update to basically how the world is between having free and open internet to partly free to not free and locked down and being monitored. And if you look, of course, you've got the United States and Canada, you have Argentina, you have South Africa, you have Australia, that are all pretty much in the green. You have Japan, you have the Philippines. You've got some countries in Africa, Kenya. So the lower the score in the United States is a 18. Again, 0 being best, 100 being worst. If you compare that to, let's go over, say, China, where China's an 88, where you expect really hardcore monitoring. And if we look at Vietnam, it's a 76. Let's see if we can, is even Korea. South Korea, of course, does it even show? Can I hover in that closer? Is a 36. They're pretty low, but they don't even register for North Korea. But it gives you an idea around the world, the freedom people have on the internet. So, you know, from the majority of this audience, we have people from, I think like the top five is the United States, Canada, the UK, China may even be fourth or fifth. So for the most part, the majority of folks that listen to the show have free and unencumbered internet. But we have, you know, I believe the show has like 110, 115 countries that are listening, even though some countries may only have one or two, and some of them are territories like Guam and Puerto Rico. So for those of you that are living outside the United States, what I'm really, if you know, if you're listening and if you go to this article and you look your country up, if you are in the yellow or purple, I'd really like to hear from you because I'd like to find out how accurate this representation is. Are you scared to go on the internet and do things? Are you having to self-censor? You know, what is the actual reality check for people that are living, let's say, in Uzbekistan or Kazakhstan or Turkey or, I think we all probably know, Iran. But, you know, are you really worried that someone's going to kick your door in and drag you out by something you've done on the internet? Countries that you would expect, Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, UAE, you know, these are all countries that have really bad scores as far as privacy goes. Myanmar probably said that wrong. But love to hear from any of you or in any of these countries in the purple, or maybe even some of you in the yellow. But interesting representation of, you know, what internet access and freedom for what you can do online from around the world. And again, I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Facebook, oh boy, you know, Facebook has been blamed to a certain extent for having too much fake news on it. And it's in my feed. I see these fake news stories. It's, you know, you have a abcnews.co.com or some weird address that's really not ABC, but some people are sucked in to think that it's an ABC article. But a report is out that Facebook supposedly had a fix to be able to pull down these fake news articles. And so Zuckerberg said that 99% of what people see on Facebook is authentic. And I would bear to maybe differ. I don't think it's 99%. I bet it's about 90 from what, at least what's in my feed. But 38% of the time, give you a comparison between a Republican and, between right and left. 38% of these fake news articles contain all kinds of bad information from right-wing organizations and 20% from left-wing. One was doing obviously more than the other. But apparently they had something in place to be able to remove these fake news stories. And I actually personally wish they would because it's bad for all of us. But he really, I guess according to this article, they decided not to employ it because they were worried about blowback. I don't think any of us on Facebook would give them blowback for getting rid of, you know, the fake news and information. I really don't. But at the same time, they were afraid that supposedly afraid of the right wing folks taking them to task more than the left wing. I don't know if that's actually the case. That's kind of, again, room and control going on. But, you know, even right now, Google's answer to who won the popular vote is a conspiracy blog. It's number one in the search results. And we all know who won the popular vote. It wasn't Trump. And yet this top number one website on Google is owned by some individual and on a WordPress blog. And, you know, he's basically, you know, you need to quit your protesting because, you know, well, you know, so Google's guilty too. not just Facebook. So you have to be careful. All of us have to be careful where we source this information from, because I've gotten sucked in on some of these stories before. I said, really? You start to read it, you get ready to click on the link, and you look down, you're like, take the fish hook out of my, out of my mouth, because I almost got sucked in myself. And your blood pressure's going up. So I just wonder how many of these fake news stories and fake sites that are putting out crap, I just wonder how many of those cause people to spool up and have a heart attack. As pissed off as people are right now, there's going to be a health crisis. People are stressed out. So it's a little bit wild. Now, on some more happy news. Some more happy news. A brain implant allows a paralyzed woman to spell out messages with her mind. This is amazing. Researchers in the Netherlands have successfully tested a brain implant that allows a patient with late-stage Lou Gehrig's disease to spell messages at a rate of 2 letters per minute. The new system was tested by 58-year-old women in the late stages of Lou Gehrig's disease, also known as amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. Unable to move any part of her body aside from her eyes, she used the wireless computer brain interface to identify letters by imaging that she was using her right hand. She can now use the system at home to communicate with family and caregivers. And if you're in that, such a state, even 2 letters a minute being probably aggravating is probably a godsend to someone that all you can move is your eyeballs. Prior to the implant, she used an eye tracking system to communicate, but it had to be recalibrated every time light levels in her surroundings changed. She says, the new system is far more reliable and autonomous, and it can be used at home without any extra help. Again, at a rate of 2 letters per minute. It's slow, but it's instant proof of concept, showing that patients can use a system on their own without much technical support. In future, the system could be adapted to stroke patients or quadriplegics, and hopefully faster. So, exciting stuff. So if there's someone there, there's a nurse there that can recalibrate her eye tracking system, that may obviously be the faster way to do it. But when maybe alone, or your care provider has went out for a little bit, who knows? At least there's the potential there to ask for help or something when there's, or get a message to a loved one. Very, 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 very cool. All right, this is just a stupid thing, but you ever want to see what lighting 100,000 firecrackers at the same time look like? Well, I have a link up in the show notes. But I'm going to tell you, the way that this guy did it, he did it wrong. Because I've been involved in lighting off 100, 150, 200,000 firecrackers at once during New Year celebrations here in Hawaii. Each family brought a 10,000 pack with them to the party. And the key is, these are long strings of firecrackers. Probably a 10,000 pack is probably 20 or 25 feet high. The key is to hang it. So at my wife's grandmother's house, the grandmother she had here in Hawaii, the grandfather, long story. They hung 150, 200,000 firecrackers from like about 20 feet up. They rolled all the way down, and then every person was lit at the same time. It is tremendous. It is absolutely fantastic to do this on the New Year's, but fair warning, about 2 or 3 minutes of firecrackers going off, but about 2 or 3 hours cleaning up. Because it leaves a mess, a tremendous, absolutely disgusting mess. A lot of fun to do it at least one time. According to Canada's Transportation Safety Board, an airliner had to do a abrupt movement. Porter Airlines had to do a drastic a maneuver to avoid a reported drone. And two passengers on the aircraft, two crew members, were injured because of the maneuver. So again, those of you that are getting drones for Christmas, please, please, please pay attention to the rules on how you can fly and where you can fly. All right. Now, I'm sure many of you are hopefully into after Thanksgiving. I know the Christmas stuff is already up in the stores. I'm sorry. I can't stop these idiots from putting stuff out this early. But if you are a Star Wars fan and you want a little bit of a change to what's on top of your Christmas tree this year, the Death Star is the only star that should sit atop your Christmas tree. Now, those of you that usually put a star, you know, the Star of Bethlehem on top of your Christmas tree, you know, this may not go over so well, but for $100, you can buy a Death Star that will go on top of a Christmas tree. that would not fly at my house. No way. How many of you are excited about the National Geographic Mars series? They've been surely promoting the heck out of it. I was, you know, I saw 4 or 5 ads from it while I was in Denver. Saw a couple last night when I had a regular TV channel on. But this looks like it's going to be a great series. Some people say it's like a SpaceX infomercial, but should be a lot of fun. Also, how many of you have went to the movie Arrival? I'm not 100% familiar with what this movie is, but it's getting a lot of press. But anyway, the actual alien language that the movie producers made up has been dissected by mathematicians. And they've actually determined, they determined what the actual circle looked like or what it equated to. And basically, they come up with an interesting formula. So it makes me laugh that people actually had the time and took the time to even figure this out, but have not seen this. Again, I think it's an actual production movie, not a like a Netflix series, but if anyone's seen it, love to hear from you if you have went. Also, Apple's considering wearable expansion with digital glasses by basically making something that communicates with the mobile phone wirelessly. So we'll see what comes of that. That's just a rumor. We're on Bloomberg, so we'll be advised on that. Best Buy's Black Friday sale includes a killer deal no other store has. Now, oh, I want you guys to help me here. If you see a Black Friday deal that is a microwave that mounts above a stove, let me know. My wife, we had our, for about the past 3 months, the microwave above our glass top stove has been making a noise, and I was actually a little bit worried that we were getting radiated, but it wasn't. It was just the power supply getting ready to go out, and it finally went kaput. And so, you know, I was like, well, just, you know, get online, go order one, whatever you want. She goes, no. I want to wait to Black Friday because I know there's going to be great deals. And I don't know if there's going to be great deals on Black Friday on overhead microwaves. But she wants to wait. So I got us a cheap countertop microwave in the intern so that we could at least warm up leftovers. I'm not into using the stove and waiting 30 minutes for it to happen, like old school time. So anyway, if any of you see a Black Friday deal on an overhead microwave, send me a link because I need to buy one. I've already got one already, but she wants to wait to Black Friday. She thinks there's going to be a good deal. Maybe so, but Best Buy has some killer deals that no other store has. It has to do with the PlayStation 4. And also, of course, some televisions, limited numbers, of course. But and you probably get in line now if you actually want one of these special deals. I'm not going shopping on Black Friday. They can go knock themselves out and fight over stuff. That won't be me. I'll be sitting here in my, gym shorts, essentially, and shopping online. That's going to be the only way I'm going shopping on Black Friday. But anyway, definitely check this Black Friday deal out. Also, have you guys heard about Lucid EV? It's a new car manufacturer that's going to be coming out with a electric vehicle. There's a little bit of an article over on Road and Show from CNET talking about it. Not a lot of pictures yet, but I'm trying to get more details on this company, where and when. But it looks like they're trying to match some of the luxury car standards. So it's probably going to be like Tesla pricing on the upper end. See where that goes. But also at the same time, there's going to be a big boost in self-driving cars because Osram has cut the LiDAR cost for those specific chips that do the LiDAR for the wireless, for basically self-driving vehicles. They're down to about $50 a chip. So this is huge. And they've got a new laser. $50 a chip is awesome because these LiDAR sensors are, 10, 12 to a vehicle. So it's not, they have to have a lot of them. So, they started out a couple years ago, like $1,000 a sensor, and to be down $50, that's saying something. If you're looking to do an Apple Watch or some sort of smartwatch this season, there's a Best of Black Friday deals on fitness trackers and smartwatches available. I'll have that link up in the show notes. There's 14 options for you. Get some pricing and where to get them and what the holiday pricing is going to be. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you as well. I've watched three episodes of Westworld, another great HBO series that's been renewed for a second season. So continue to be excited to see where this series is going to lead. If you're a Westworld fan, please no spoilers, because I'm not through season one yet. And I think they're actually starting to, I think they're only up to 5 or 6 episodes. But I only watched 3 before I went on travel. So I'm going to give you some advice. And this is for the fellas and the ladies that may be setting up accounts on adult websites. Gmail will give you a free alternate email account. Okay? You can go over there and you can sign up any name you want almost and have a separate account so that it's not tied to your regular email account. Some of you may not care, but with all these breaches of adult websites and, 412 million users of California-based Friend Finder networks, which they have a series of networks like, I won't even mention the actual sites that they own, but there are a lot of like cam sites and that type of stuff. 412 million people's emails were completely, emails and passwords completely compromised. So, if you, I'm not judging, okay? If you're going to go out and sign up for one of these sites, use a throwaway email, all right? Don't use your regular email and don't use a password, please, that you don't use anywhere else. LeakSource.com said it was able to view passwords for 99% of the credentials. Here's a little tidbit. It said 78,301 of the accounts are registered to .mil accounts. Naughty, naughty .mils. You know you're not supposed to go there. And 5,600 of them were .gov addresses as well. I know you have training. You're not supposed to be going to those types of sites on government computers, okay? Oh my God. Insane. I guess people don't have enough to do. You know, maybe need to work a little harder. Oh, all right. Switching gears here. Charter customers sue over hidden fees, claim massive billing fraud. You know, you get your cable bill, you get your telephone bill, you get your wireless bill. You read this thing. You need like a PhD in accounting to figure out all these weird charges that they do. And believe me, they make it so obscure that you just give up. The average person gets their bill and they look at it and that looks about right. And they don't even look at the details. But the charter customer sued the cable company, alleging it falsely advertised at a lower price than it actually charges and falsely tells customers that fees tacked onto the bill are mandated by the government. So this guy has a case because some of the stuff is not. So we'll see where this one goes. The United Kingdom has approved extradition of a British hacker to the United States. A British man by the name Laurie, L-A-U-R-I, that's a man, Laurie Love. Can't make this stuff up. Okay, someone's got to help me here. That's not L-A-U-R-I. How do you pronounce it? It's not Laurie, is it? Okay, so I guess so. It's not Laurie, but it's Laurie. Okay. A 31-year-old hacktivist has been fighting his expedition by the money UK Home Secretary Amber Rudd signed the order. Mr. Love has been charged with various computer hacking offenses, which include targeting U.S. military and federal government agencies. The U.S. originally charged him in 2013. So he is, he's on his way to the United States. Extradition approved. It's got to be scary. It's got to be scary being extradited to another country to face charges and potentially go into a U.S. prison. It's bad enough going in prison in your own country, but can you imagine being in foreign soil? Well, don't worry, Lori. I think most of these minimum security, they have like TVs and, I know, McDonald's. All right. I had to eat at a McDonald's once last week. I just had no time. It was like the easiest In-N-Out place. God. It was disgusting. I just, you know, it was bad. And I used to love going to McDonald's. Chicken nuggets, get a quarter pounder cheese. I barely can stomach McDonald's anymore. Well, McDonald's has okay, how many of you like Nutella? You know, my kids like Nutella, right? Nutella to me is like, it starts with an S and ends with a T. That's what I think of Nutella. McDonald's has a Nutella burger that oozes chocolate. It's a dessert. Doesn't it just sound yummy? Well, you can't get this in the United States. This is only available. Where the heck is it? Where are they selling this at? Italy. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't the Italians have some of the best pastries and desserts known to man? Am I wrong, or is that the French? Someone help me out here. Who in their right mind would buy a Nutella burger from McDonald's? God, I just can't imagine. And I know some of you love McDonald's. It's cool, but I just can't. It's like a last resort thing. And Wendy's, single with the no cheese, fine. You know, or actually, you know, there's a few other places that aren't bad. But, oh my God. Hey, I should have said this in the beginning, and I forgot. I know we got listeners down in New Zealand. Hope everyone's safe down there. I know you guys just had a huge earthquake, 7.8. That's massive. It's massive. It really, really is. I understand. I was through a very strong earthquake in Guam, but it was like 20 miles offshore, so it wasn't as bad when it hit land. But, you know, it's like major landmass moving. And there's an article on CNET talking about cows that have been isolated because the land has fell away and they can't get off of like cliffs and stuff. So when you see how the earth moved there, it shows you the power of old Mother Earth. So I hope everyone's safe and on the road to recovery. As we talked about prior show, regulators are now investigating new emission irregularities in automatic transmission Audis. You have an Audi? Ready for that resale value to drop? The California Emission Air Resource Board is looking at this thing. Oh, where there's smoke, there's fire. Oh, my goodness. It never will end. One thing that we will say about the election is that the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, is dead. It's dead. It's dead. It's dead. It's dead. It's dead. The TTIP is on life support as well. So that looks like that will not go through. Some other countries may sign it, but if the United States does not, maybe even this Iran deal will get reversed. A two thumbs up on that. Hey, Amazon, you know, one thing when I'm on Amazon, and you know, I do buy a fair share amount of stuff on Amazon. I'm always, you know, I'm real careful when I'm buying brand named goods, whether it be clothes, backpacks, watches, anything like that. I oftentimes when you buy stuff on Amazon, you can buy directly from the Amazon store, which they are representing, or you can buy from someone that has some retail in there. So you really need to be careful, especially when you're buying name brand stuff, that you're getting the real deal, because there has been a number of counterfeiters that have been caught on Amazon as of late for selling stuff that they are portraying to be one thing and is not. And Amazon has filed suit against some counterfeiters on in Amazon. So be careful when you're out there. Do the research. Look over the company that is, because it'll tell you oftentimes, it'll tell in there who the actual retailer is. Look them up online. Make sure they, you know, make sure they look legit. Look at the reviews. You know, for a name brand item, that's a, you know, you typically are going to, if it's a, you know, especially if it's high end, the reviews are typically going to be very, very high. You know, you start seeing 1, 2, 3 star reviews on the product, you need to look in really, really deep. So be careful when you're getting ready to buy stuff for the holidays, and the vendors that you're picking it on Amazon is obviously as well. Well, the big moon happened here in Hawaii. Matter of fact, I can look out the window right now and I can see it up there. I think, you know, here from here, where I saw it last night, it looked bigger than tonight, but they said tonight's the night. And I tried to get some pictures. Actually, my iPhone worked better taking a picture last night than the DSLR did. Who knows? Maybe it was a little bit more light when it was coming up. But there are some pretty stunning pictures that people have been posting online. I'll have a link to that. Also, if you did buy a MacBook Pro, there's a new company a company that came out with a hub that pretty stylish. They actually released it. It's a company called Borge Design, and it was released in April, really intended for for the Retina MacBook. So let me put this link up. You guys can see this. It's got a card reader, you know, extra ports, USB, the whole nine yards. Is this thing going to load? Come on. Oh, what did I do here? I'm failing in my hosting duties. All right. Cut. Link. Paste and go. All right. What is going on? Oh, that's why. Oh, my God. Oh, man, I'm really messing up tonight. All right, here we go again. Okay. This is over, this is from BGR News, but posted on Yahoo. But it's just a disc. It's a little hockey puck. And It's $105. And again, it's got some USB-C. It's got some regular USB. It has a Thunderbolt. Has an SD card reader. So if you have picked up a MacBook and need some extra ports, this is the way to go. It has a USB-C interface. So basically, it will connect up anything that you have. And I do believe you have to buy the cable separately. It doesn't come with a cable, so just to keep you advised on that. Also, Microsoft Black Friday deals include Xbox One and a Surface discount. So there's going to be some sales and some big discounts. I'll have this up. As much as $500. For like a Surface Pro 4 Intel i5 256 gig SSD, usually $1,428. Available for $999, so some big savings like that. So if you're looking for to pick up a Surface, this might be the time to get it on Black Friday. All right, Google will very soon ban fake news sites. Well, I guess that site we talked about earlier being in the number one position, maybe they should act a little quicker. But anyway, they're going to ban fake news sites from using its ad network. So at least those sites can't be monetized through Google Ads. 40 tech companies have sent a letter detailing their policy priorities to President-elect Trump. So they don't list all the companies that sent it, but they basically sent a legislative agenda to them. So we'll see. It's called actually companies involved are the Internet Association. And again, it's a 12-page letter detailing a roadmap and policies for his administration to consider. So time will tell how that turns out. Also, the U.S. Navy, yes, our U.S. Navy denies it pirated 558,000 copies of software. Oh, someone's going to have to pay. Bit Management Software's in a federal lawsuit claims the government pilfered its 3D virtual reality software on a massive scale. First of all, most government computers, at least when I was associated with them, would not be even possible to run any type of 3D virtual reality software, let alone 558,000 machines. I find that hard to believe, but that's what's being alleged in this lawsuit. And of course, the Copyright Act allows damages up to $150,000 per machine per license or per infringement. So Uncle Sam may have to write a check, and the Navy is semi-admitting culpability. But they haven't listed the actual number of machines that are unlicensed. You have a hybrid? Well, getting ready to buy a new hybrid? The United States has finalized rules that require quiet hybrid and electric cars to make noises at low speeds. In an effort to prevent injuries among pedestrians, U.S. government has finalized rules that require quiet hybrid and electric vehicles to emit alert sounds when they are traveling at low speeds. So what is the actual alert sound going to sound like? Get out of the way? Get out of the way? Or here I come? Or is it going to be something like beep, beep? 125,000 pedestrian vehicles are injured annually. The rules will also help the blind and visually impaired, which, you know, if you've ever been in fog in the San Joaquin Valley, you would wish, as you come up to a stop sign, that vehicles had some sort of beeping going on in those type of conditions. But this is just going to apply to electric vehicles. At higher speeds, alert is not required. But I don't know what the actual definition is of this sound. But yes, your car is going to squeak or beep when you're going slow. According to coasttocoastam.com, that during the earthquake in New Zealand, there was a interesting light showing up in the sky. There's a video of it. This guy's freaking out. He is praying as if the earth was coming to an end, but it looks to me like maybe transformers exploding. It doesn't necessarily look like earth. They're calling it earthquake lights. When you guys see the video, let me know if it looks more like transformers blowing than some sort of weird phenomena. Also, the Trump's space policy advisor has begun to talk to folks. And it looks like they are all on board and upping NASA's budget. We'll see if that happens. You know, talk is cheap. And maybe pushing towards more outbound discoveries, Mars and beyond, versus doing so much close in you know, basically close Earth orbit science. They say they're going to continue to support the National Space Station and so forth, but they're going to the space advisor says, and I don't know if this is a quote from Trump or not. He says, "I will free NASA from the restrictions of serving primarily as a logistics agency for low Earth orbit." And he declared at the time, I guess this happened in his speech down in Florida, and he says he would instead refocus its mission on space exploration. I'm all about upping NASA's budget. I think it's a good idea. So we'll see, because we've benefited so much. Velcro, among many things, you know. So when you go the next time you go to the museum, and you're walking around the exhibit area, and you want to take a selfie next to a statue, watch where you're going when you're backing up. A tourist visiting a museum in Portugal accidentally created a memory that will last a lifetime after a careless selfie attempt resulted in the destruction of a priceless statue. He knocked it off. And this thing was already on a rice pedestal. Some absolute idiot. Selfies. I hope he has to pay. Also, a mining community in Myanmar was rattled on Thursday when a giant metal cylinder plunged from the sky and crashed to the ground in their village. Measuring 15 feet long and 4 feet wide, yes, that would scare the crap out of you too. The impact of the object arrival caused houses in the village to shake and residents to fear that some kind of battle had just erupted. Well, it turns out it was a Chinese missile stage. Oh, man. China, you know, you're supposed to fire these things where those objects land in the water, not on neighboring countries, you know, territory. So let's, you know, let's get your trajectory logistics down. And finally tonight, this is a no kidding one. Doctors in China are growing an ear on a man's arm. And when you see this, it actually looks pretty good. You know, somebody got their ear bit off by their, you know, by in a fight or something, because that happens. People lose their ears. And I'm not going to run the video, but they're growing the arm on this guy, growing the ear on this guy's arm. Oh, man. It was completely destroyed in an accident. So they were forced to start from scratch. And so anyway, they created the new ear out of cartilage from his rib and then grafted a fabricated organ to his arm, which was currently growing into the proper size and shape. In 3 to 4 months, they removed the fully matured ear and transplanted it onto his side of his head. Oh, man. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. All right, let me go ahead and see if what we have for email, if we had any. I think we did. I just got to get to the right folder. How are we doing for time? Oh, well, we're long. It's okay. You guys miss me. Let's see here. Got an email from, oh, that one that we've already read that one. Yeah. Oh, that's because I'm not I've been a little lax in doing a show last week. No love from the audience. Geeknews@gmail.com is a place to send your emails, folks. I hope you had a fun time with me today. Those of you that are on Facebook, thanks for hanging out. It's been fun. If you check this show out later, post-recorded on Facebook, definitely drop a note in the comments. I definitely appreciate it. Those of you that are on YouTube, hanging with the show tonight as well, and those on live stream, thanks for being here as well. Hope you had a great time. Of course, the episode will be up directly and be available via the Rector Podcast download. But those of you listening to this later already know that because you already have it. But if you're new to the show, we want to thank you for checking the show out. Hope you had a good time. Hope that you'll come back and be part of our Ohana here. And it's been my pleasure bringing the show. We'll be back with you on Thursday night for another live edition of the Geekness Central Podcast. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.